Welcome to WEIRD News Channel. We kick off this July the 4th, and we welcome and celebrate the Independence Day in the United States. We are actually sponsored by the Boy Love News Channel and ATN. We appreciate you joining us. Of course, over this past weekend, very, very sad news, as in Baghdad, a suicide truck bomber ripped through a busy shopping district in Baghdad over the weekend, killing 200 at the moment. Families have been gathering as they broke for the Holy Week, I guess the Muslim week of Ramadan, and prepared for another holy day. The day marks the end of that holiday for the Muslims. As people congregated and shopped and watched soccer matches, the bomb-laden truck plowed into a building housing a coffee shop, stores, a gym, and firefighters rescued all they possibly could, including trapped people in the adjacent buildings. ISIS has claimed responsibility for this attack. It's the largest string of assaults during Ramadan, a period of fasting and praying for Muslims worldwide, and also time when jihadists launch operations against those that they regard as their enemies. It's actually a very, very sad time of the year. Thinking about our holiest months like Christmas, we certainly would not want anything like this happening for us on a regular basis. It's very, very sad. In the Washington Post, you thought technology that was used in the movie The Minority Report was scary. An Israeli tech startup called Faceception is claiming that it has developed analytical software to help the government agencies identify prospective terrorists, pedophiles, and white-collar criminals. The basic idea behind this startup is that a human face has multiple characteristics that are reflective of the genes that determine our personalities. Because these facial features are undetectable by the human eyes, however, we need advanced software to root them out, which is where Spaceception comes in. It's always good to be skeptical of tech startups, particularly when they are making claims that are this bold about technological capabilities. Nonetheless, the Post states that Faceception has already signaled a contract with a Homeland Security agency to help identify terrorists. So apparently this is being taken seriously by the federal government. The potential negative implications here are pretty obvious. However, would it really be responsible to establish surveillance on an individual just because some face scanning software believes they fit the general facial profile of a terrorist? The evidence that there is the accuracy is these judgments is extremely weak. Princeton psychologist Professor Alexander Dordoff told the Post, just when we thought that psychogeometry ended 100 years ago, well, they're doing it again. Faceception CEO Shai Gaibal, who also serves as the company's chief executive officer, tells the Post that he would never make any of the company's analysis of people's faces public. He also believes the government shouldn't rely solely on their company's facial scanning tech to identify terrorists and should instead use it as just one of several variabilities. Nonetheless, this probably won't do much to quell concerns about the technology and its implications, since no one wants to have their phones bugged because of facial recognition software glitches. And in some positive news, in Newport Beach, California, a Good Samaritan helped avert certain tragedies Saturday when he helped rescue a little boy who was buried alive. The young boy had been digging little holes in the sand. It says that the man that had rescued him said that it started actually, he was visiting in the LA area from Arizona when he was at Newport Beach Saturday. He says the boy's parents frantically approached him and some of the other beachgoers when they said they'd lost sight of their three-year-old boy who'd been digging sand tunnels. Martin went over to where he thought he'd saw the boy digging. The little boy was buried about 3 feet down for up to 4 minutes. He started digging pretty fast and dug two big handfuls, and that's when I felt him under the sand. And he pulled him out and pulled him up to an embankment on the side of the hole. He said it was a scary thing to see the little boy, who wasn't breathing and blue and pretty much dead. It was pretty frightening. Martin's uncle did CPR on the boy, who was taken to the hospital And tonight, the boy is doing okay, and he's already been released from the hospital, and he's back home. Meanwhile, Martin, the rescuer, is the reluctant hero, told everyone that he just got a text from the grateful parents, including a picture of him, and he was smiling and laughing. It's always nice to hear good news on the weekend. In Bangladesh, with our international news, distraught after being bullied in school van, a 14-year-old student has committed suicide by jumping from the 10th floor of his apartment building on Wednesday. The victim, who is studying in the 9th grade, regularly traveled to and from school in this van. Another student traveling in the same bus, alleged to have been bullying the victim, who was upset that none of the other students stood up for him, forcing him to become a laughingstock. The victim is said to have been depressed over the regular bullying and about his physical features. On Wednesday, after coming home, he wrote a suicide note and jumped to his death, sources say. The note clearly mentioned the name of the boy who'd been bullying him, and based on the suicide note, the boy's parents have filed a complaint and the police have registered a case. This information has been discussed with the school authorities, and we'd ask them to tell their students not to indulge in bullying. The family of the boy who bullied the victim has also been informed, and this boy is said to have been suffering tremendous shock and fear, as he did not think that his actions would take the life of another student. Even the version of the other students, who had been traveling in the same bus, will have to be recorded, said an officer doing an investigation. The victim's uncle said that the family was not in a position to discuss the incident at this moment. Efforts to get the school's version of these events have failed to answer any phone calls. This is absolutely tragic that young people feel that, you know, they can bully each other, and it's embarrassing. It's one of the things that we as BLs should certainly try to prevent and help young people recognize that bullying actually hurts people and can cause tragic incidents just like these. Moving on in news. Jason Alexander, an actor and a director of numerous episodes of TV's Law and Order, was sentenced Tuesday to a decade on probation on child pornography charges. Alexander, a 52-year-old resident of Dobbs Ferry, will be required to register with the state as a sex offender. He was charged nearly a year ago in the case after an investigation that began with the Westchester District Attorney's Office. Authorities said DA investigators last July 24th said that he had downloaded child pornography from an IP protocol address assigned to his home. A search warrant executed at Alexander's home turned up hard drives with child pornography on them. He pleaded guilty in January to two felony counts of promoting and possessing child pornography. He faced up to 7 years in jail for this case. Alexander is the son of Tony Award-winning actress Jane Alexander, a former director of the National Endowment for the Arts. Jane Alexander has directed numerous television shows, including more than 30 episodes of Law and Order, as well as many episodes of Rescue Me, The Practice, and Ally McBeal. He also acted primarily in the 80s and 90s and appeared on Broadway. Such a sad, sad story. And in historical news, 100 years ago today, the cream of Leicester's young men bravely went over the top, as many of them would never see the city or the country again. On July 1st, 1916, the Allies launched what would be the knockout blow as they broke the Germans on the Western Front and paved the way for the march to Berlin. As it was, the First World War's Battle of Somme would be nothing short of a massacre. Over 1 million men were killed or wounded, making it the bloodiest of battles in all of human history. Survivors there were thought to have gone through so much, as today they rely on their testaments just to give us a somber flavor of what it was like back then. One said, "I've dug out two of these poignant interviews of the Leicester soldiers who fought and survived at Somme. Back in 1966, a former platoon sergeant, Mr. A. H. Soar, then 69, related some of his experiences during that midsummer madness. He says our group was detached from the main company, and we'd reached our objective, a German village outside of the battle, and we were consolidating in case Germans counterattacked. An officer of the 7th Battalion led us through a wooded area, and we reached the front of it. He told us to lie down and concentrate our rifle fire across open ground. He stood up to tell each of the men to lie down, which promptly caused him to get hit in the face by a bullet. The Germans intensified their shooting with machine guns, and so much of us has scrambled into the deep ditch for shelter. I found out subsequently that a small group were the only troops of the 110th Infantry Brigade holding the newly won position on the evening of the 14th, owing for the withdrawal of the brigade through a misunderstanding. Ultimately, we were relieved on July 18th. Later, I had the pleasure of watching my name being deleted from the list of the missing. 25 years ago, even fewer survivors were left to tell their story or their tale of everything that happened. One of the things that was recalled by one of the gentlemen, he was particularly horrified by the death of a young 13-year-old Irish boy who was gunned down just yards away from the British trenches. He was later buried in one of the ditches. It's terribly sad that back then that young men, even that young, 13 years old, were there to sacrifice for their country. As we do celebrate our July the 4th here in the United States, we must recognize that young and old, we stand proud together as BLs, or no matter what you are, we can be proud of our country and the sacrifices that many have given. It's a wonderful thing to celebrate, as we do today. Moving on in news. Recently, on PBS, they had a show entitled, Should a Juvenile Sex Offender should they be locked up indefinitely? Even when they have served their time, sex crime offenders in some states are being held years beyond their release dates. The civil commitment laws that have left jailers deem that convicts are too dangerous to walk free are facing intense scrutiny, especially in Minnesota, where even juvenile sex offenders can grow old behind bars. That's a sad state to think that making kids stay way beyond their years that they should have served simply because they're afraid they might do something good, might do something bad once again. That's a sad fate of affairs in all juvenile things. But even for men, when they're committed to the institutions for the rest of their lives, said one young man had been sentenced to 3 years, but he's been behind bars for over 14, locked up with other hundreds of rapists, child abusers, and sex offenders. They're all being kept by what's known as the civil commitment law, which allows a state to deem someone as an ongoing threat even after their sentences are served, and keep them locked up indefinitely. You know, you can murder somebody and get out of jail, and nobody has to watch you, nobody has to do anything, but if you committed a sex crime, they're going to watch you for the rest of your life. So please, gentlemen, be very, very careful what you do in your life. Make sure you keep a very clean life. We may be BLs, but does not mean we have to do stupid things. Watch what we do every day. Moving on in news. And now Ford Sports News. As you guys know, I did kick off our inaugural news show with the announcement that Wimbledon had started and that the likely winner would be Novak Djokovic. Well, sadly for me, because I probably betted $10 or $20 on this, Novak Djokovic suffered a huge upset in the third round of Wimbledon, falling to Sam Querrey after multiple rain delays on Saturday. Querrey, the number 28 seed in the tournament, took down Djokovic, the defending champion, 7-6, 6-1, 3-6, and 7-6. The fourth set came down to a tiebreak that saw Querrey put several shots wide when he was clearly in control of the point, but he still ultimately came out on top. Querrey played some of the best tennis of his career on Friday and again on Saturday, fighting Djokovic to a close break in the opening set and dominating the world number one. The second one, Querrey, who has never made it past the fourth round of a Grand Slam, and whose highest career average in singles ranking now has sees him at number 17 in the world. He led Djokovic after two sets. Gurri's best Wimbledon finish was when he made it to the round of 16 back in 2010. Since then, he has had an up and down career, and he had been named the number 28 seed for the tournament. Sadly, Djokovic is out, but we must move on. I do enjoy tennis, guys. I hope you appreciate weird sports. I didn't do a weird sports sound, but hey, it's weird sports. And moving on, our next news story. And now in entertainment news. Asa Butterfield has a new movie coming out. And the movie is called a very, very special movie It's called The Space Between Us. It's coming out this year. And the storyline is it's an interplanetary adventure. I can't even talk today, guys. A space shuttle embarks on the first mission to colonize Mars, only to discover after the takeoff that one of the astronauts is pregnant. Shortly after landing, she dies from complications while giving birth to her first human born on the red planet, never revealing who the father is. Thus begins the extraordinary life of Gardner Elliott. That will be Asa, an inquisitive, highly intelligent boy who reaches the age of 16, having only met 14 people and his very unconventional upbringing, while searching for clues about his father and the home planet he's never known. Gardner begins an online friendship with a street-smart girl in Colorado named Tulsa. When he finally gets the chance to go to Earth, He's eager to experience all the wonders he could only read about on Mars, from the simple to the extraordinary. But once the exploration begins, scientists discover that Gardner's organs can't withstand Earth's atmosphere. Sounds like a very interesting story, and I know with Asa in it, it will be fun. So we look forward to that. That'll be coming out this year. Asa Butterfield in the new movie called The Space Between Us. Moving on in news. And finally, this week's editorials, I bring it. This has been Gorf at the Weird Weekly News Channel. We appreciate you joining us. You know, this past week, on July the 3rd, there was, in Janus's journal, David Slay's Goliath story. Like a young shepherd who battled the giant Goliath, Major Davis Ellis slayed Charles Roderick in federal district court this week. It was Ellis's second court victory against Roderick, who is the owner and operator of a series of websites, including three websites that identify more than 750,000 American citizens as registered sex offenders, regardless of whether they are currently required to register or even dead. Roderick's websites, at one time, required an individual to pay up to $500 to have their name, photo, home address, their personal information removed. In addition to preying upon registered citizens, Roderick also preyed upon people like Ellis after they helped and registered citizens. Specifically, Roderick falsely stated that Ellis had committed felonies such as falsifying test results on aerospace equipment. What I'm trying to say in the editorial is, you know, we live in a world now where just about everything is public. You can Google your name on the internet. You can search whether there's been anything said bad about you. You can search whether your email is this. You can search whether your IP address is this. You keep these things. It's kept forever. Whatever you do online, gentlemen, it is there. It's there forever. It doesn't go away. Doesn't just wash away simply because we wipe it clean with Sea Cleaner. It's there. We need to be careful. You know, just because we're BLs, everyone is looking at us with a fine-tooth comb. They want to look at us in a microscope. You know, I was talking to a good friend of mine, just recently, talking about how as the world grows into watching terrorists, they're not going to have enough money to spend watching us, watching people like ourselves. In that awful name, the word pedophile. I absolutely cannot stand that name. We're simply boy lovers. We like boys. What is such an awful thing about that? Does that mean we go out and prey upon children? No, it doesn't. Does that mean we want to go out and hurt a child? No, it doesn't. Does that mean we agree with people who rape, molest, and damage children for the rest of their lives? Of course it does not. And yet, we can be lumped in with those individuals if we allow ourselves. So, gentlemen, no matter what you do over this holiday weekend and this coming week, let us remember that as we bond together as BLs, we are a stronger community together than we are apart. Watch what we do. Watch what we say. Be careful of who you become friends with. Always watch how you act. People are watching us and how we act, what we say, what we do in our lives is a part of who we are. You know, I remember many, many years ago being told that you only get one reputation in your life. And if you ruin that reputation, it is difficult to ever get it back again. So as we go on after this holiday weekend, of course, celebrate the 4th of July. Go out, have a party, have a barbecue. Enjoy the week, guys. It's a wonderful summer week. The boys will be out there playing in their swimsuit gear. Enjoy it. Have a great time. But remember, people are watching what we do, how we act every day, and amongst each other. One of the worst things we can do as BLs, and it's been happening since I can remember, is we attack each other. We have got to stop attacking each other and support one another. So many BLs, even today, are depressed, alone, feel like nobody cares. Even on a holiday weekend, they sit by themselves in small rooms, feeling like the world is coming to an end. And some of them have done that, actually taken their lives because of that depression. We absolutely need to work together to be able to be there for one another. Don't attack each other. Support one another. If you see someone doing something they should not be doing, tell them. Express that. Tell them you care about them. Tell them they shouldn't be acting that way. They shouldn't be talking that way. Let's grow this BL community to be what it can be, a spectacular, shining star amongst the community of the world. I know it can be. This has been your DJ Gorf for Weird Weekly News. I hope you have enjoyed that. I know I have enjoyed bringing it to you, and we will see you next week after we finish this 4th of July weekend and I get me some great ribs. Have a great week, gentlemen. We'll be right back.